I heard a preacher say one time, "I would rather have Christ than assurance." I'd rather have both.
Yes, sir.
It's true that there are times that we are at low ebb, let's put it that way. There's no question about that. That has to do with emotions and mental attitudes. And what I'm saying is there's nothing spiritual about it.
Yeah.
It has to do with conditions. So what I've been talking about, and I hope you don't get bored with it, is what I've been talking about is the believer's position in Christ. Now, that the very fact that God says these things, and I know I'm being repetitive, because the only way I know to teach is to repeat until it becomes instilled in the mind. I've been speaking to you about those things that we have in Christ, spiritual things that are beyond all human capabilities. You know, we say on the one hand oftentimes that we are unable, that salvation is by grace, through faith. Walter mentioned it this morning. There are people who are in Sovereign Grace churches and preachers who will say that, and then turn around and begin to lay some kind of qualifications on those around them. It's beyond human capability. The things that are set down in Romans 6 are beyond human capability.
Amen.
We have these things in Christ. Now, for us to gain such a place as members of the family of God, what does that mean? It means to be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Every child of God is flesh of Christ's flesh and bone of Christ's bone. That's what the scripture says. It is to be in him. And to be in him is through him, by his work. And it is by him. And to his praise and his honor and his glory. This is the place in which I'm supposed to live, in which you're supposed to live. Every day, morning till bedtime, all day long, every hour, every minute, this is where we're supposed to live. Oh yeah, we've got our tasks and our occupations, and all of us either have them or have had them. Now, our daily round of duties, but underneath and all around and beyond all of these things, our life is Christ.
Yes, sir.
When the scripture speaks of this, it isn't speaking of what you are doing. It's not speaking, when the scripture speaks of spiritual life, it doesn't speak of doing.
That's right.
Because the passage that we quote so often, and that Walter and I both use continually, that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. I mean nothing.
Amen.
No, well, I've got to do works of righteousness in order to be blessed. You might as well go back under the Mosaic Law.
That's it.
Because if blessing is requires works of righteousness by me, I'll put myself in this equation, or by you, we're going to fail.
Exactly.
We're going to fail. And there won't be any blessing. And I think that's one of our problems. We sometimes are plagued by and distraught by worry and concern. Now, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying this is a condition that exists. We're sometimes worried and distraught by concerns about things. And we think, and I just had it in a letter yesterday, we think, well, what have I done wrong?
You're right.
Well, a lot of things. You want to make a list?
Right, that's it. There you go.
A lot of things. But it's not by what we have done one way or another.
Yeah, that's it.
God causeth the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike.
Amen.
His blessings come to the righteous and the unrighteous.
Right. That's it.
The task is to understand and receive those blessings. Now, in verse 7 of Romans 6, you read these words, and this is God's word. He that is dead is freed from sin.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're going to go back, of course, and lay some foundation here. But it says, he that is dead is freed from sin.
Amen.
This is the word from the Spirit of God, and follows the statement, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen.
And God's people do not serve sin.
Amen.
Now just mark it down.
That's it.
You can have a rotten personality and not serve sin. Or you can be, as Walter was pointing out this morning, you can be weak and be offended by many things and still not serve sin. Or you can be strong, and your conscience can be clear before God, and not serve sin. But there are so many, we're surrounded by this religious crowd that has set up a pattern. It's like a quilt pattern, you know. And every piece has to be in the right place, and of course they say where the place is, and what the piece is. And every stitch has to be just so, or else you're out. That's not the way God works. To serve sin is death. Now that's all there is to it. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, as you come to Christ, what is it the old song says? I am coming to the cross, I am poor and weak and blind. That's how you come. And God expects nothing more from you. I mean, the task of the preacher in today's modern religion, preachers like myself and Walter, is not to get people, it's to get people to realize that they are poor and weak and blind. And to depend and throw themselves totally and completely upon the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
That's the task. And you know something? That's the hardest part of the job. That old song said, I am poor and weak and blind, but then it says, I shall full salvation find. And if you don't find it in Christ, you'll not find it anywhere else. In that full salvation that God, that salvation which the scripture says is unto the uttermost. For all those who come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In that full salvation, we occupy a place of blessedness in which God will not impute sin. Now, I can say that over and over and over again. It is a place of blessedness in which God will not impute sin. Now, what does that mean then? That means that God will not reckon or charge sin to your account. Well, you can't preach that. I just did. I just did.
That's right.
Well, you'll tear the church all to pieces. People go out here and just live like the devil. You preach that kind of stuff. Well, people would.
Yeah.
God's people don't.
Exactly.
God's people don't. That's grace.
Yes, sir.
For me to say that God will not impute, charge, or reckon any sin to your account if you're in Christ, that's the preaching of grace. Anything else is the preaching of works. I don't care what it is.
Right.
Through grace, God gives life to everyone that comes to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Listen to Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. Sin has reigned unto death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin did reign. In the believer, grace now reigns. Now, can you see it? Sin no longer reigns, for God will no longer impute sin to the child of God. Now, the fourth verse of chapter 6 tells us, therefore we are, I may have mentioned this last Sunday, I don't remember, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now I know I mentioned this, that we should in newness of life be walking. That's the expression. But grace reigns. Now look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man, now last Sunday we went into that old man business in detail. That's the nature with which we are born. That is that nature with which, in which every man is born. And the scripture tells us here, now it becomes a question of this. Do we believe what the Bible says?
That's it.
Do we believe it? If I come around and accuse you of drinking too much coffee and killing yourself, see, I'm making a judgment, right? I'm making a judgment. Well, you might do that and every bit of it be God's will. I don't know. Undoubtedly, if it happens, it is. Be that as it may. Knowing this, Paul says, by the Spirit of God now, that our old man, that old nature, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now chapter 4 of this 6th, verse 4 of this 6th chapter tells us that we've been baptized into Christ. And in that baptism, which is a type or an illustration of our being buried with him. Now, somebody will say to me, well, this is not talking about water baptism. Oh, I'm not going to argue with you about that. What I'm saying is the baptism, which is our public confession of Christ, is a type of this death and burial. That's what I'm saying. We are being buried with him, and it must be also then that we are risen with him. In other words, we come forth out of the water. We are risen with him because of his death, because of his burial, and his resurrection. All that are in him are crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, and raised with him. I mean, it's past tense.
Exactly.
It's already happened.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Done. Is this what the scripture says?
Yes, sir.
It is.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't need my interpretation. It doesn't need any interpretation of anyone. The need that I see here is the need of faith in me in order to believe it. And to believe it is going to alter the walk that I have. Now, we sing, I'm a child of the King, I'm a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. And we act like poverty-stricken dolts.
Right?
I mean, yeah, we do. What I need is faith in order to believe this. A child of the King is not going to live like a spiritual pauper.
That's right.
The need is faith to believe it. I look at myself and I say, no, I'm not crucified with him. The old nature is not dead in me. God says it is. God says it is. Oh, I've got to fight. God says you don't. You say, well, I've got to put forth. God says no. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
What about that?
Exactly.
I mean, doesn't that give some assurance?
Yes, it
does to me. And I suppose I've lived on the brink of disaster or catastrophe more than anybody in this room. That does something for me. We just, it's to lay hold of this concept. I said, no, I'm the old man's not dead in me. Well, then I'm not believing, am I? Am I believing if I say that? No. I'm not being critical. I'm trying to say something that comes deeper than just surface. I'm just saying that that's unbelief, whether I recognize it or not.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, we say, I don't understand it. I can't understand that. Paul asked a question in Romans 11 and verse 34. He said, for who hath known the mind of the Lord?
Amen.
Or who hath been his counselor? You see, what? How can you expect to know as much as God knows?
Exactly.
He spoke the worlds into being. Psalm 33 and verse 9. Don't turn to it. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and what? It stood fast. He said, you're crucified. He said, you're dead. He said, you don't serve sin. I'm going to accept that. Believe that. He said, let there be light, and there was light. John says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Tremendous things. Everything else is darkness.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
If you look inside, Walter, there isn't a baby in heaven. And there's not a baby in hell. These nonsensical questions that God, who sees the end from the beginning, sees that life is finished when it begins. And the fact is, there's not a man in the world that can answer that question about the eternal state. But I'll tell you this, there's no mother holding babies in their arms in heaven.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
I'll tell you that. Preachers have lied about that for years.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Right.
See, we can't come to grips with spiritual entities. Paul said, it doth not appear what we shall be. We don't know.
Right.
But we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him. Now, there you are. Come and touch me and feel me and see if I'm not flesh and bone. That's what he said. Well, it's a rabbit track. Isaiah chapter 9 says, and now I know this is Jewish. I don't need to be reminded of it. But I think it has a dual application, as does all of God's word. Listen to this. I said, everything else is darkness. And not only darkness to the eye, not only as if the lights are out at night, but it's the darkness of death. Isaiah said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light hath shined. And to me, that's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Apart from Christ, everything's darkness. But being in him, everything is light. So we're told to walk as children of the light. Now, what does that mean? That means I walk in the faith of Romans 6. I'm not boasting. I'm just taking myself as an example.
Yeah.
I'm a child of the King. I represent the King. And I don't have to be afraid of these people that are going to tar and feather us.
That's right.
Let them go away. We'll be right here, God willing, for as long as he wills,
yeah.
Right here.
Right.
Right here. Now, this is not an easy thing, or a light thing, you know, frothy, not a frivolous thing. To be told to you and to be told to me that all that we were and are from Adam, that is from our human generation, has been rejected of God. Every bit of it. Every righteous deed has been rejected of God. You say, well, I'm doing this. Oh, goody, goody, I'm doing this. I'm going to get a star stuck. Remember when we were in school, you know, you got a star? My kids used to. If they did real good, they got a star stuck on their grade card. I'm going to get a star. And then we're saying, will there be any stars in my crown? I doubt it, because man is incapable of a righteousness that will please God. I don't care what it is. It just isn't there. You see, I get off. Paul, by the Spirit of God, is not dealing with what we have been done. What we have done, he's not dealing with the sins we've committed. But he's dealing with what we are in Christ. And to enter spiritually into the meaning of these awful words, and I mean that in the true sense of the word awful, full of awe. Our old man was crucified. It comes down to deep soul searching, because it's not our nature to count ourselves so bad that we have to be crucified.
Right.
We don't want to think of ourselves like that.
Right.
But when in the light of the Spirit of God we see really what we are. From Adam, all these words should bring a great relief. Because my history ended when Christ died. My history in the flesh ended when he died.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Right.
Now this is just the opposite of the religion of this world. Just totally opposite. Now, the old nature is so far gone, and far beyond any self-improvement program that anyone can recommend that it's totally futile. But this is the direct opposite of the teaching of false Christianity concerning a holy life. These teachers of the law put you to crucifying yourself.
Yeah,
right. Every time said, mortify therefore your members which are upon. You know what mortify means, don't you? It means kill it.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't the Bible say that? Yes, but that's another message. But what I'm saying is, how... Well, I must not get off. My time is going to be gone. Now, I said it was so far gone that it's beyond any human program of self-improvement. These people say that you must die out to this and die out to that. And you're killing this and you're killing that. But God says our old man and all that we were has already been dealt with by the crucifixion of Christ. Now that's what Romans 6 says. The very words with him teaches us that it all took place at the cross.
Yeah.
Now, it's not good news to tell you that you've got to be good when you can't be.
Exactly.
I mean, you try to be good and your own mind's going to condemn you when you lay down at night. That's just a fact.
You're right.
And you're going to think that you're about the sorriest thing that ever walked on the face of the earth. Men think they're poor providers. They can't do this and they can't do that. And they're not doing enough of this and not doing enough of that. Women think, well, I'm a poor mother. I'm a poor wife. It's an impossibility. To come to even where you can satisfy yourself. How can you satisfy God? Moses said, "Girl, you're talking about just going along la-di-da." No, I'm not talking about going along la-di-da. I'm talking about faith in action. That's what I'm talking about. It's not dying out to this. It's dying out to or dying out to that. It's being able to lay hold of this fact that I am crucified with Christ. And this is good news.
Yes, sir.
Rather than go around trying to crucify yourself every day.
Right.
The words of the scripture constantly remind us that our relationship to sin was brought to an end when we were identified with Christ. When we were identified with him in his death, when he died unto sin, as a believer, you shared in that death. You died with it.
Yes,
and you're now dead to sin. Now that, this has got to be the constant attitude. But I don't see that in myself. Don't look to yourself, look to Christ. You'll see it in him. Our difficulty is in taking this attitude by faith and keeping this attitude in our minds continually, and faith is going to remove the difficulty, and faith will grow as we constantly pay attention to and believe God's statements of the fact here in Romans 6. Walter, have you ever heard down there in the country where you used to be, have you ever heard these prayers for victory? Lord, just help me to have victory over this, or Lord, help him or help her to have victory over this sin, and go on and cry and bawl and squall and slobber until it just about wears you out. I always did think it was futile, because I saw the same people right out on the street later, and it wasn't any different than it was before that prayer for victory. Now, something's wrong.
That's it. Right.
Don't go to God with that kind of begging.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We have a different job altogether. Our Lord says this is the work of God, that she believe on him whom he has sent.
Yeah.
We can often find some of these things. Well, now we often find, we do find ourselves in some of these places with some of these things that we find ourselves in the place of that father of the demoniac, you remember? When he said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." But let's keep our faces toward the enemy, knowing ourselves to be in Christ, and that we've been commanded, not just asked, but commanded to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. Let me tell you what this does. When you're on the job, there comes opportunities to cheat, right? In every job. Well, somebody says, "Yeah, well, I've done my share of that." Take a hold of it. See yourself as a child of the King. You represent Him.
That's it.
Your action reflects upon His throne.
That's it.
Are you kids in high school? Grade school? You think, well, everybody else is doing it. That doesn't mean that you do.
Right.
You're a child of the King.
That's it.
You walk with Him. Well, you know, Mom and Dad are not here to see anything. Well, yeah. But the trouble of it is, you walk with the King. The King sees. And because of that relationship, being dead unto it and being risen in Christ, that's what Christ's death brought about. It caused us to be dead to sin, dead to the law, dead to death, and dead to the world. If I didn't die with Christ on the cross, I can't be living with Him now. Now that's the truth. I can't be risen from the dead, and I am. I don't look like it, but I am.
That's it.
I'm still back in the old Adam. If these things aren't true, I'm still back in the old Adam, where I was born. This is what happened when Christ died. He died to conform a people to His own image. He did it at the cross, in the grave, and in the resurrection. It's a continuing process until we either go to Him or He comes for us. To be conformed to His death is already a fact. You know, it's not done. To be conformed to the death of Christ is not to do my own dying. Not to do my own dying to sin and to self and to the world, but on the contrary, just by faith that in His death I died, you died, and to be conformed to His death, which is already a fact, is not to do my own dying. To do your own dying is Romanism. Have you seen this nonsense, some of this nonsense on? Walter talks about television, and I watch television, but I wear my button out getting rid of programs too. But have you seen that? You say, "Earl, don't be upset with me. Have you seen that senile old fool humped all over in that chair and these?" What kind of leadership could you get from a moron that'll go up and kiss his hand and the old man doesn't have strength enough to get his head up and speak to him?
That's it.
That's right.
To talk to me. Do you know that people are impressed by that garbage?
They are.
I mean, Protestants.
They are.
Thank God I've never been a Protestant.
You're
here. But this is nonsense. Sure. What else are you going to do? with a clergy that is 90% faggot.
There you go.
Now that's just what it amounts to. I told Jimmy that this morning. Just face facts. Unnatural. There stands your principal great whore right there.
Yeah, yes sir, that's right.
Drunk with the blood of saints.
That's exactly right.
And I want nothing to do with, I want less to do with Romanism than I want to do with Arminianism, and that's nothing. If we're able to reckon ourselves dead in Christ's death, it's going to simplify life.
Yes, sir.
That's where every child of God stands today, dead with him, crucified with him, buried with him, raised with him.
Yes, sir.
Death has no power over you. You want assurance? Go to the book. See what God's done. And he's done it all. Our Father, we're grateful again this morning for your blessing and goodness, for that which we have in Christ, that which is ours, given. Just given. And that which is given is received. Lead, guide, and direct us, we pray, that we might walk in grace, testify to grace, preach grace, love grace, and die in grace. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.